Now the Alter Rebbe says this. Zehu shamar akasov. This is the meaning of the verse in Parshas Vayetze. Now you have to listen to the Alter Rebbe's words. What how he explains here the story in Parshas Vayetze. I mean, it could make you cry when you read this. This is what the pasuk says: Vayishak Yaakov leRachel, Yaakov kissed Rachel. Vayises Kailoi, and he lifted as he raised his voice. Vayefk, and he wept. Everybody knows the story in Parshas Vayetze. Yaakov leaves Be'er Sheva in the Holy Land, and he travels to Mesopotamia, and northeast from Eretz Yisrael, coming to Charan. He meets the people in Charan. Achai me'ayin atem, brothers, from where are you? They say, me'charan anachnu. He says, hayedaitem es Lavan ben Nachar. Do you know Lavan, the son of Nachar? Vayemru yadainu, we know him. Hashalom lo, he asks, is he a right Lavan? Lavan, of course, was Yaakov's uncle, his mother's brother. Rebekah's brother was Laban. They say, we know him and he's fine. V'hinei Rachel bitei ba'im atzayin. And at that moment, Rachel, Lavan's daughter, Yaakov's first cousin, is arriving with the flock as she was the shepherd of her father's flock. And the Torah continues in Parshas Vayetze. That v'yihi kashera Yaakov es Rachel bas Lavan achime. When Yaakov observed the sight of Rachel, the daughter of Lavan, the brother of his mother, and the flock, and Yaakov removed the stone over the well, and he gave the cattle to drink. And the pasuk continues that Yaakov kissed Rachel, and he raised his voice, and he wept. Vayagid Yaakov leRachel ki achi aviyahu. And Yaakov told Rachel that he is the brother of her father. As Rashi explains, the brother means the relative, actually the nephew of her father. And the commentators obviously interpret and explain the meaning behind this and how did Yaakov do such a thing. The Ramban writes that Rachel was a young child. The Ramban gives another interpretation that Vayishak Yaakov liRachel, whenever kissing is introduced with a lamed, not S, but lid, means that Yaakov, you didn't kiss the person on its mouth. Yaakov didn't kiss her on her mouth, rather al Rosh or al Ksefer, on her head or on her shoulder. That's what the lid indicates. The Siparno says that this is why Yaakov told her, Ki achi aviyahu, I'm the brother of your father. Lohidia shaleichata b'musar kishanashaka. He said there was nothing immoral, there was nothing unethical, there was nothing immodest about that type of relationship because they were such close relatives. The Rachayim explains this, the Ibn Ezra explains this. But here the Alter Rebbe explains the story, the soul of the story. Everybody knows one of the foundational teachings of Chassidus is that the figures, all the biblical figures, the characters of the Torah, and all the physical events that occurred in the Torah were physical manifestations of spiritual metaphysical events. So now the Alter Rebbe is going to explain what was the soul, what was the inner energy, what was the neshama, what went on at this event. Rachel, he Knesset Yisrael. Rachel is Knesset Yisrael. Rachel is the eternal Yiddish Mama. Rachel is the mother of the Jewish people. And just as the mother shepherds her children faithfully and loyally, that's what Rachel represents. She's Knesset Yisrael. She's the mother that contains within herself all of the souls. Makir Kol HaNeshamas. She's the fountainhead of all of the souls of the Jewish people. In Kabbalah, it's explained that Rachel represents the attribute of Malchus, Shechina, which is the source of all of the souls. Yes, in chapter 41 is the level of Shechinta. V'Yakov, b'midosay hal yoynashi midasarachum shabbat silas, with his supernal, his divine attribute, the attribute of compassion of the world of intimacy. He is the one who arouses great compassion for her, for Rachel. Chassidus explains, the Alter Rebbe explains this at length in his discourses in Torah Eir and Likutei Torah, that to understand the personality of the patriarchs, you have to understand the spheros, the divine emanations of the world of Atzilus, which is, so to speak, Hashem's personality. We discussed this at length in 39, where he discussed the four worlds. Hashem emanated from himself 10 attributes, 10 characteristics, which serve as the source and the building blocks of the entire universe. These are the 10 characteristics: Chachma, Bina, Das, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, etc., that form are the source of every energy, of every being, of every creature in all of the worlds. This is the source of creation. Hashem emanated from himself, identified within himself modes of the human personality, so to speak, through which he creates, he sustains, he relates to the universe. The uniqueness about the world of Atzilus is that although these 10 attributes are the source of every single existence, and each one of us is made up of these 10 attributes, and everything that exists in this world comes from one of these 10 attributes, but in that world, these 10 attributes are divine. They don't have their own identity. They're a conduit through which godliness is expressed. The patriarchs, their personality was an embodiment of these spheres, of these divine emanations of the world of Atzilus. The patriarchs suspended their ego totally so that their personality traits were nothing but a channel, a conduit through which godly essence emerged and expressed itself. So Avraham, for example, was the embodiment of Chesed of Atzilus, the divine energy of attraction. Yitzchak, the divine energy of awe, of rejection. Yaakov, the divine energy of compassion. We also have within us the love and rejection and compassion, but there's a difference. Our love is not the divine energy of love. Our love evolves after many contractions and limitations and veils from the original pure divine energy. And that's why in our love, there are other forces that are mixed in, primarily identity and ego. The Avos, they cleansed themselves. They became total conduits. They suspended everything. They got in touch with the source of existence. So they had personality, but their personality was the personality of the world of Atzilus. Yaakov exemplifies divine compassion. Midas Arachim of Atzilus. So Yaakov is arouses great compassion over Rachel, over the souls of the Jewish people. But this is not it. Vayises Kailai. Yaakov raises his voice. The Pasuk says, Yaakov kissed Rachel and he raised his voice and he wept. Lamaila upwards. Lamekir arachimim al yainim. To the fountainhead, to the source of the divine mercy, of the divine compassion, Hanikra of Arachamim Makaira, which is called the Father of Compassion and their source, the Father and source of compassion. He lifted his compassion up to the source of compassion. Yes. What does this mean? So briefly, and Alter Rebbe says it extremely briefly, but in other places he explains there are two terms everybody knows. There's, in davening, usually we use the term of harachamon. But there are moments, there are times when we use the term of harachamim. What is the difference? Of harachamon means the compassionate father. Of harachamim means what? The father of compassion. Of Arachamon is he's the compassionate father. Of Arachamim, he's not the compassionate. He's the father of compassion. Of Arachamon is the world of Atzilus, where Hashem, so to speak, contracts himself, defines himself within a structure, a divine structure, the structure of love, the structure of awe, the structure of compassion. Divine compassion, but compassion. Of Arachamim is the pure essence, the essential source in which there's no definition yet, no form, no title, even the most celestial title. Even Atzilus is called Olam, it's a world. Olam means concealment. And then there's the pure essence, Kula Kamei Kalei Chashiv. And the compassion that comes from there, that's real compassion. Even the compassion of Atzilus is not ultimate compassion. That's why Yom Kippur, for example, we say Avarachamim at unique times. We change, we shift from Avarachamim to Avarachamim. What is the difference? If I see somebody in pain and I'm aroused with compassion, the compassion can be beautiful and lovely and noble and pure. But nonetheless, it's very obvious that I'm not only having compassion on the person in need, I'm also having compassion on myself. When you see somebody in pain, you're in pain. You're having pity on yourself also. You know, you imagine yourself in that scene. I mean, your conscience is bothering you. It's about you as much as it's about the other person. It suits your character. It's not totally about the recipient. It's also about you. And therefore, by definition, it's not pure, totally pure compassion. It has you. There's a lot of you there. And therefore, you give the person, for example, how much he needs. Not anymore. Since it's his needs that strike a chord in your identity, so the amount of those needs, the depth of that need, that's what you satisfy through the compassion that you bestow upon the person. That even, that's defined compassion. You're a nice person, but that's not real compassion. Then there's undefined compassion. Undefined compassion is of harachamim, not of harachamim. Compassion that comes from the place of the soul that is not defined by any attributes, that is not defined by any faculties. And when that element is aroused in compassion, it has compassion for the sake of having compassion. It has compassion on the other person, and that compassion is unadulterated. Its purity is extraordinary. That's avarachamim. And therefore, when you give compassion from that level, you don't only give how much the person needs, you give yourself. Because it's not being aroused by the need that is perturbing you, it's coming from within. Even in godliness, the rachamim of Atzilus, being that it's a source for the worlds, ultimately does not express ultimate compassion, deepest compassion. It's compassion that satisfies itself as much as it satisfies those in need. Or at least, not as much, but it also satisfies itself as it satisfies those in need. Zogdal Terebbe Vayisas Koiloi. When Yaakov met Rachel, he didn't want that the soul should only experience the compassion from Atzilus. That's not fear for the soul. Vayisas Koiloi, Yaakov Avinu lifted his voice. Yaakov Avinu aroused compassion on Rachel from the source, from Avarachamim Umakairam. Yaakov sees a soul and he says, I want to give you the essence. I want to restore you back to your original identity. I don't only want to give you already a diluted compassion. Vayises koyle, and Alter Rebbe says, Vayef, and he begins to weep. In order to awaken and draw from there, from the boundless divine mercies, abundant compassion upon all the souls, Val Makir Knesset Yisrael, and upon the fount of the community of the Jewish people. So Yaakov lifts his voice, which means he raises his consciousness to a higher level of compassion, and he begins weeping for Rachel, drawing down compassion from the deepest source for the souls, which is represented by Rachel. What does he want to accomplish through this? Lahaloison migaluson, to raise the souls from their exile, ulayachadon beyichudal yunet in Saif Baruchu, and to unite them in the highest unity, in the energy of the Blessed Endless One, bepchinis nishikin, at the level of kisses. And thus Yaakov kisses Rachel. Yaakov wants to undo the exile of the soul. He wants to raise the soul from its jail, bring it back to its original oneness and unity, and not just a unity, but it should be on the level of a kiss. Shehiz dapkus ruche berucha. What is a kiss? It's the attachment. It's the unison of spirit with spirit. There are many ways in which you can unite with somebody. But what is a kiss? A true kiss, mouth to mouth, is Kamesha Kasav, as the Pasuk says, Yishakeni minishikis piyu. The second verse of Shir HaShirim, the bride begs, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. So the Zohar explains many places in Parshas Vayeshev, what is a kiss? Mouth to mouth, it's not just the contact of two lips, of two parts of physical bodies. Those are other expressions of love express that contact. Is dapkus ruche beruche. Your breath enters into the recipient's breath, and the recipient's breath enters into your breath. Your intestines, your inner spirit, your inner consciousnesses become intertwined, interconnected, and one and the same. That's neshik. So when Yaakov sees Rachel, Yaakov experiences compassion. He looks at a neshama. Rachel represents all the neshamas. He looks at a person. You know what this person is. Memala kalalman, seviv kalalman, kula kamei kalei chashev. The essence of the king is in this person. But a person is in exile. We're totally in exile. And at that moment in history, Yaakov revolutionized reality. He allowed every soul throughout all of the generations to be able to kiss Hashem. To be able daily to come out of the exile. Notwithstanding the deep alienation, to be able to come back. To raise itself and to kiss Hashem. To connect, to become one. Is dapkus ruchi beruch. This is what he finished. Let's just finish the last few lines here. The Hainu, what does this mean? And now the Alter Rebbe will go back to his familiar pattern of connecting to the essence. This is typical. This is very typical. This chapter of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe, the transition from the Vayishak to what he goes now, is very expressive of the Alter Rebbe's perspective. You could see how this is that. You could see literally the essence of Yiddishkeit here. You know, all the way from the top down, all the way to the bottom. The Hainu, this means, what does this mean, the kiss? Sounds unbelievable. His kashrus dibur adam bedvar Hashem zu halacha. It means the union of the words of man with the word of Hashem, namely halacha. The Gemara says in Shabbos, dvar Hashem zu halacha. It means taking out a Gemara, it means taking out a Shulchan Aruch and start learning. Your words are now the words of Hashem. The words of Torah are considered to be the words of Hashem. So when I'm learning Torah, when I'm learning Allah, I'm uttering the words of Hashem. My words and Hashem's words are now the same. So our mouths, our lips join together in a divine kiss. My words and His words become one. The same as thought was thought. When I, my mind is occupied in thinking Torah, which is Hashem's thought. So again, my thought and His thought meet, are integrated, are synthesized into a seamless whole. The borders are removed as they become one, and again we experience a divine kiss. And ma'isa b'ma'isa, deed with deed, mortal action with divine action. Show ma'isa mitzvahs, the observance of the mitzvahs. Again, the observance of the mitzvahs are, so to speak, Hashem's deeds, in a way. It's His intimate will. So again, here is the kiss on a concrete level. Or befrat, particularly ma'isat tzedakah v'chesed, the mitzvah of charity and loving kindness, tzedakah. Why the chesed roye yimina? Chesed is not just another element of Hashem's deeds, but as the Zohar puts it, it's the divine right arm So it's not just a kiss, but it's deeper. In other words, the chesed expresses the divine arm, which Alter Rebbe explains in the fourth section of Tanya Negeres HaKadosh, encompasses the entire body. And the Alter Rebbe adds, V'l'pchinas chibuk mamish. And this is actually, and this is, as it were, a real embrace. As the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, in Shir HaShirim, also in chapter 2, and his right arm embraces me. In addition to the kiss, the Alter Rebbe says there's also an embrace. He kisses you and he also hugs you, because his right arm is chesed. So when you do chesed, you give charity to a person in need, you are becoming, so to speak, a vessel, a conduit, expressing the right arm of Hashem. So the right arm of Hashem is embracing you at that moment. Since you are doing chesed, which is Hashem's right arm, so there's a mamish, an embrace. Chibuk mamish, he says. Through Torah, there's also an embrace, he said at the end of chapter 4, if you remember. But here's chibuk mamish. Through tzedakah is chibuk mamish. And he adds, and the eisek haTorah dibedibur machsheves eiyun emchinas neshikin mamish. While one's occupation in Torah by word of mouth and by concentrated and meditative thought constitute the real level of kisses. Again, mitzvahs also represent a kiss, like you just said before, mice of a mice. But on a deeper level, or more particularly, mitzvahs affect a real and chibuk mamish, and Torah is what affects neshik and mamish. Speaking words of Torah and thinking, meditating, iyun, reflecting, racking your brain with Torah is the kiss. It's a divine kiss where your thought and Hashem's thought melt away and become one. Unlike mitzvahs, which is more of an embrace. The Rebbe concludes, "V'hinei ayidei zeh, in this way, yachalav elabchinas aver abbeis galus libe." One is able to attain the level of Avir Abba, of great love, in the consciousness of his heart. I don't know if he means here the level of Avir Abba. It's interesting. I don't know if he... But through this process, you can experience also a palpable love. Kedeksiv, as the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Chavtes liYakev asher podes Avram. Of Yaakov, who redeemed Avram, commercial cost of Makamach, as is written elsewhere. The Rebbe said at the end of chapter 32, a very powerful idea. Yaakov redeems Avram. Compassion redeems love. In Yeshaya, Perich of Tess, Hashem is promising the redemption of the Jewish people. And he says, Koyamar Hashem al Beis Yaakov asher podes Avram. Literally, it means that Hashem, who redeemed Avram, is telling Yaakov that they are also going to be redeemed. But the Gemara explains in Sanhedrin Yutes that it means that Yaakov personally redeemed Avram from the pain of raising children. Because he raised the Shvatim. Avram was supposed to do it and he didn't. Chassidus explains this psychologically and spiritually. Sometimes the Avram in us is an exile. You can't locate the love in your heart. The love is power. The love is in captivity. It's in prison. You can't locate it. You can't find it. You can't bring it to the fore. You can't discover it. Who redeems Avram? Yaakov. Yaakov redeems Avram. Compassion ultimately allows your love to emerge. I believe this is the reason that Alter Rebbe calls this path the Derech Yashar. The direct path. The beginning of the chapter says this is the direct path for Lishma. To become inspired towards Torah and Mitzvahs. Why is this the direct? What does direct path mean? Direct path means if you get onto this road, it'll take you direct to the destination. You don't have to take another road in the middle. You don't have to take another highway. You know, you say this is a direct train. You don't have to get off and take another train and another train and another train. When we come to a Jew and you say, develop a love towards Hashem, develop an awe towards Hashem, although the Alter Rebbe demonstrated throughout the Tanya how it's attainable to every person, etc., But nonetheless, as he emphasizes himself, there are always other roads that are involved. Because in order to love Hashem, you have to be in a moment where you can reflect, where you can think. It requires a moment of seriousness. It requires a moment of spiritual elevation. It requires knowledge. It requires thought, meditation. And the meditation should translate into the heart, or at least into a conviction. And so on and so forth. Godliness has to be meaningful to you. Godliness has to be somewhat of appealing to you. But what about midas harachamim? Compassion. You can feel bad for yourself even when you're uninspired. On the contrary, when you're uninspired, that's when you can really feel bad on yourself. Ava and Yira already need some level of, you're ready to be inspired. Rachamim, you feel like an animal. You feel lowly, you feel despicable, you feel horrible, you feel detached. Is the harachmanas of dir? I mean, think what's going on. I feel so cold and detached and numb and apathetic and ungodly and beastly. And who's in me? Who's in me involved with this experience? You can have compassion for this. You can have compassion for yourself. So at every moment, it's a derech yasher, it's a direct path in the sense that it doesn't require other introductions and other prerequisites. Wherever you are, at every moment, the path is there for you. And therefore, Yosef says it's lefnei kol ish. I mean, lefnei ish, not Yosef says lefnei. Before a man. It's direct in the sense that it's attainable by every person, at every moment, at every level. You can't say, I'm not on the level. I'm now an animal. Hug. So now you can ask to have rachmanis. Because you're not really an animal. And Yaakov redeems Avraham. You'll see there are people in this world that unfortunately cannot experience love. For whatever reason, their love is deeply concealed. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're lucky. If you do know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. There are many people that as a result, it could be of abuse or of other experiences in their life, they are incapable of experiencing real and real emotion of love. Because love is a heavy emotion. Love is an emotion where you can melt away in the presence of another person without any defenses. Your vulnerability, you can be totally vulnerable and emotionally exposed. And not everybody is capable of it. But you'll see something, Chassidus points this out, Alter Rebbe points this out, and this is what he means. That even people on the lowest levels that have been deeply abused or have abused themselves, sometimes they're incapable of feeling any love. Certainly they don't feel any awe. But even at the lowest levels, they can feel bad for themselves. That emotion is always available for a person. The emotion of Ava is not necessarily available. Rachamim is always available. Because Rachamim is an emotion that relates to the lowest situation as it relates to the most exalted situation. And in the lowest situation, it's there in a way, in a more powerful sense. The emotion of compassion for another person or for yourself relates to you on every level, even when you have fallen to the deepest depths, heaven forbid. So Yaakov redeems Avram. Once you have, and this is what happens in healing, many people, what drive people to healing is not love. They feel bad for themselves. They see where they have come to, and you just feel compassion for yourself. You feel compassion for yourself, you ignite a spark. You ignite a spark, now you can dig and reveal the love. So Yaakov reveals Avram. So the Alter Rebbe says, since ultimately Torah and mitzvahs need the two wings of love and awe, so through Yaakov you come to Avram and you can experience love. And this is the path, he says, to be able to perform Torah and mitzvahs lishma. You move yourself. You're moved to godliness. You're moved to Torah and mitzvahs by remembering, by having compassion for your soul. That compassion inspires you to kiss, to engage in a divine kiss through Torah and mitzvahs. And this is the lishma that's achieved through the attribute of Yaakov Avinu. Have a great day. have a wonderful week on a good Chodesh. The schedule will now be, now the schedule is voluntary, although before it was also voluntary. We're going to have a Ma'ariv, and as was planned, we'll have a little Fabrengen. We covered Rosh Chodesh Nissan after Ma'ariv. What was? By you. Together? Where are you from? You here for a visit? You're living near each other? You here alone with a family? Family. This is today you made it? During the Shia? Somebody else wants to say something now. I darshened a lot tonight. Say it loud, everybody should hear.
There's a Gemara in, I don't know if it's Amos, that's why I'm afraid. The Gemara in Gittin brings a Machlokes, or a Shaila, actually, in the Gemara.
Can you tell them the story that you told at the end of the conference? What was it about? About the
should I say it over?
I told it over. Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, I think one of the people. Share with everybody. Somebody who attends our shiur at the end of the shiur today shared with me something very powerful, so I asked him to share with everybody about his own process. Whatever it is, moving. Zog, don't worry.
Okay.
Tell them who you are, where you came from.
Yeah, my
it's a pretty eclectic group here at this shiur at this Fabringen. Call it a shiur, so it's, here's another neshama.
So my name is Yehuda Persky, and I'm from Minsk.
Russia.
Yeah, I'm going there this week, Wednesday, this week for Pesach to make Seder there. And so 10 years ago, my family and I came to Brooklyn. So anyway, 3 years ago, I went to Yeshiva Kation. Yeshiva Kation was the teacher, Yossi Jacobson. And from this Yeshiva Kation, from my first this Yiddish experience, then I decided to stay in Yeshiva. I didn't really decide to stay in Yeshiva on my own. It sort of the whole Hashgacha process behind it sort of happened. And how it happened,
yeah. Zaken Shabachabura.
I went to Israel as a Yeskimin.
As a what?
And I came to the Hutz and Gev.
You came to Israel as a what? An S?
I was searching for Hashem. I went through all the others. And I went to Israel on my way to India. But in Kibbutz, I went to Kibbutz and Gev on the Galilee. One day, standing in Tiberias, they got me a room, and I stay for Shabbat. I was going to leave. They said, you can't leave. You have to see Rabbi Gaffney. That took 3 days. Going to classes. Sitting in the base of Midrash. And I began to read the Shulchan Aruch. Because I was studying, carrying heavy books on nutrition. And here I came across this Shulchan Aruch. And I believe, well, later on, I think in the same place, the Rambam Hilchos Deos 52a. And I came across a question that you were to pass metal over your food and water at the time of the renewing of the
kufa.
3 days go by. Finally, after class, I'm going to talk to Rabbi Gaffney, and I say, why? Why do you pass metal over your food and water at the time of the renewing of the kufa? And he said, they knew more of those days. Back. I think I was going to leave at that time, and the head of the yeshiva, you know, the fellow who was in charge at that time, said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to visit a friend of mine who has cancer, which now I happen to be writing a book on. And he said, give me the name, Hebrew name, and the Hebrew name of his mother, which I did, and I came back. It happened to be divorced. And they did, the Psalm 119. But when I went back, his wife Ruth said that counting them out didn't particularly work. But the next year, when I was invited up north for Pesach, as I began to walk up the hill, my host came down and said, my wife had an accident, and her leg is halfway up the thigh, the knee, or part, up. And it seems to be that the marrow is going, and her blood is going towards the heart. Well, he went on, because this was a big hill. He was the Izzy Thiroff, was a concert pianist living up on the hill. His grand piano. And I saw out of my eye that there was some kids, Moroccans, getting out of a truck. I said, what time, when is Mincha? And when we came up to Mecha, I said, please, do Psalm 119. Now, it's interesting. The Yid who was davening, who looked like a street cleaner back here in America, but when he started to daven, he was so good. And then he knew exactly what to do. Now, I really couldn't follow him, but I could follow the vibrations. And the vibrations kept going up. Up until it passed right through the heaven. At night, first night of Pesach, Izzy was just going on his piano, and all of a sudden he began to play with gusto. Myself and another year began to dance. Because how powerful the 119 would be emerges. Well, I kept going back, but it took me from 1968 to 1986 until I left my family completely. Of course, Tanya burned it. I don't know why. It just burned. I had to go into Morristown. By Vickman, may he rest in peace. He was my mentor. That's my story. Thank you.
Hi,
Ivan.
You're next. You're next. Judaism. It's real Judaism. You don't get this in the yeshivas. You gonna tell your story also? Are you gonna tell your story also? I wanna hear his story. I don't even know who he is. He's here since day one. Who's next? Are you going to tell us your story? We want to hear your story.
Okay, I went to. Well, there's a couple of them. When I was a child, this was when I was 6 years old. In 1937, there was a song about the 37 at Coney Island we were living, and there was a polio epidemic at the time. And we were living at that time. Myth was, you know, not all the Jews were rich. We were definitely poor. I started living in one room in Coney Island at the time. And like I said, there was a polio epidemic in Coney at that time. And I remember we had a porch there. And my mother was sitting at the other end. And I tried to walk. I said, Ma, I can't walk. I can't move. She said, I don't want to hear that. You're going to walk. She said, you come over to me and walk. Don't say you can't. She said, you can't. And I walked. And I walked. Look, Hashem. And I'll tell you another story about him. This happened recently. This Puerto Rican lady who was in the Jewish workman's circle home in the Bronx near Co-op City. She was a friend this girl that I knew, who, by the way, was once wanted to become a nun, and she became a Baal Teshuva. Anyway, she knew this Hispanic girl. They were in therapy together about 25 years before, and this Puerto Rican lady had MS, and she was in a wheelchair. And I prayed for her, and I told her to get out of the wheelchair and walk without a cane. Don't worry, we're going to be on your side, you know. and she walked. And to this, and she's still walking as far as I know. And Hashem, I saw Hashem in action at that moment.
You see, these are Jews who have relationships with Hashem. Most from Jews don't.
I guess we don't have a story yet. We didn't learn enough yet. We have to do much more to have our story.
He's saying that chapter 45 of Tanya refers primarily to Frum Jews, and them it's the biggest achmanas. So you want to share with us your story?
I once read one of Rabbi Nachman's books, one of the press of publications in English. I think it was the book Tzadik, where Rabbi Nachman says that Mashiach will have no trouble convincing the Friar people. He'll do a few miracles, he'll be convinced. It's trouble convincing the Froma.
We invented you.
Story Rabbi Avram Rosenfeld told this Shabbos at his Fabrange. He said there was once in this little village somewhere in the outback of Eastern Europe, this village had a particular problem. They were plagued with what's called the Mysa. The Mysa is a tattletale. Go over telling the government that the Jews are doing this, the Jews are doing that. And the government would then, the anti-Semitic government would then make life hard for the Jewish people. So these the Jews of this town were suffering, so they went over to their Rebbe, and happy they arrived at their Rebbe on a Friday. And the Rebbe asked, why are you here? And they said, well, we need you to curse this and that person who's tattletaling to the government and making life hard for us. The Rebbe didn't answer. News to the Hasidim felt maybe he's waiting for Shabbos, maybe the higher levels will be able to do a better job cursing. So Shabbos came, nothing happened. Finally, they're burning inside. They can't contain themselves. They said, but it's Mitzvah Shabbat. They said, Rebbe, curse him already. So the Rebbe said, let me tell you a story. It's going to be a day when Mashiach will come and all the Jews are going to be running to shul to catch the last few minutes of tshuva, the last few minutes to return to Hashem, make up for their misdeeds. And they're going to be praying and wailing in shul. And they're going to blow shofar, and some of maybe their less involved brothers and sisters will hear the shofar, be awoken, touch the core of their neshamas, and they'll join them in shul. Nu, Mashiach will come with a great big cloud, and take them all to Eretz Yisrael, and then those Jews who were not so involved in Yiddishkeit at all, they're going to say, "What's going to be?" They're going to say to themselves, "What will be with us?" So they'll also join their brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, and soon there'll be no Jews left in the streets of the world. All the Jews will be in Eretz Yisrael. And then the Goyim, they're going to ask themselves, "What's going to be with us in this new world? We persecuted the Jews for thousands of years." Tremendous, horrible atrocities. What's going to be with us? We have to buy off Mashiach. So start collecting all the gold and the silver to buy off Mashiach. And then it's going to dawn on them, you know, this is insignificant. Mashiach can have all this gold and silver without us. This isn't going to be an effective present for Mashiach. So there's going to be a wise man among the Goyim who's going to come up with a great idea. He says, you know what? We can give as a gift to Mashiach, we can give him a Jew. But the Jews, they've all left Eretz Yisrael. We're going to find a Jew to give Mashiach. there's a miser, there's a tattletale in town. He didn't yet join the rest of them. So they're going to schlep this tattletale out from hiding, this reluctant tattletale. Imagine a picture of this guy, he's drunk. Don't take me to the Shia. And all these guys have a pushing him and shoving him, come on. And they gift wrap him in a beautiful coach. They put a crown on his head and they card him off as a gift for Mashiach. And the Rebbe says, you want me to curse Mashiach's gift?
Chaim, Chaim. Did you give me a little Chaim or Shekayach? Do you want to say something? I doubt it. Tonight is the yard set of the Rebbe Rashab, Beis Nissen. So let's sing his niggun. You know his niggun?
Yeah. Allah, 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 All
Spill the beans.
Also a song that the Alter Rebbe made, himself made, that was supposed to go for all the Arba Olamos.
Ah, that's a heavy duty one.
Maybe we'll drink a bit some more. You know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, of course. Atzilus Bri Yitzir, Asiya, it goes Atzilia, Yitzir Bri Atzilus. Alter Rebbe also. Chaim, Chaim, Chaim.
It's interesting to hear about songs and then they sung, you know, it's like you're getting the, showing you the menu that I
without tasting it.
I once heard that these machmoisha, they say that the same Yaakov were really Yiddish Lashamas. These machmoisha remembered that he remembered all his previous Gogolim. And he showed the Hasidim where a mark, once he strayed, and Yaakov and Vino hit him, and he was ashamed, he remembered himself as being a sheep, and he taught his Hasidim the niggun that Yaakov used to play in the flute.
Now there's a book which has the notes of the niggun. You know that?
I've never heard of the niggun.
It's called Yaakov Avinu's Niggun. There's a book, it's called Eshel Avram. It was written by a Rebbe, the Bur from his name is Avram from Butschach, and he has the notes of the niggun. I never heard the niggun. Yaakovina was Hungarian.
No, I don't know. It was a Hungarian peasant that was singing.
If what? I don't know the niggun.
When you hear the tune, you can tell where it's from. Eastern or
based on the
how the
notes are arranged.
Allah Salahach. Ah. Yeah, it's a ganze Indian. We had a whole shir on it once. Perek Chavav. Where did we learn it? Perek Chavav, I think. Allah Salahach Vayetzamayim. A while ago. It's from the Tfilas Geshem on Shmini Atzeres. This Tfilas Geshem. So we remember all the schusim of Klal Yisrael bekasha with water, like Avraham Avinu yukach na ma'at mayim.
Ah,
when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's from the Lashon HaTefillin. When it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, you say Allah Salahach vayetzu mayim. That's the shaila. That's the kasha. It doesn't make sense. This was Moshe Rabbeinu's aveira kavayach.
How much is only as good as the
That's one perspective, yeah. Kotzkereba once said. A maskal once came to him and said, "What are you learning Chumash for? It's full of the whole Tanakh. It's full of Avedis." So he said, "From their Avedis, a Teda was written. From your mitzvahs, a Teda won't be written." So he said, "From their Avedis is a Teda gemach yeshibin gevar. The whole Teda is from other people's Avedis, right? That's what it's made up of. Not the Vaviyu's Avedis or Shchedish Nissan Taka." The whole Torah is made up of people sinning. He said, from your mitzvahs, there won't be a Torah.
That's what movies are made of. I said, that's what makes movies.
Mitzvahs or sins? Our mitzvahs make movies, and their Avedis made a Torah.
Both.
First time it was a mitzvah, but over here it says alas. But here it says alas selahach, and there was tzur. First time it's tzur. Yeah, there's two terms for rocks. One is tzur, one is selah. First time it says v'yikisa v'atzur b'shalach. If it would mean that, it'd have to say alas tzurhach v'yitzamayim. The second time it says v'dibartem alas selah. So unless the writer, which doesn't make sense to say, was not meticulous, I mean, it would be absurd for him to choose Selah when Selah was really the wrong one. So it means he's talking about the time when he did tell him to talk to the Selah. That's the problem. What's even more strange is that they made a joyous melody.
Sounds better also.
Alat Sur.
Al-Selah, no.
If it would have been Alat Sur, that would have sounded just good.
What is the technical difference in the term
tzur? Tzur, it says in Mefarshim, is a much more rocky rock. Selah has moisture in it. Selah has moisture contained.
More porous?
It says in Mefarshim, once so it says up to the Kabbalah Sefer, Selah is as a Selah Samach Lamed Ayin. So Selah, how do you spell Samach? Samach Mem Chaf. What's the middle letter? Mem. How do you spell Lamed? Lamed Mem Dal. What's the middle letter? Mem. Finally, the last letter is Ayin. How do you spell Ayin? Ayin Yud Nun. What's the middle letter? Yud. So you have a middle Mem, and a Yud. Mayim. So in the pnimius of the Selah, in the center, in the quintessence of the Selah, you have Mayim. The Samach, Lamid, in the inside, if you dig deep, you find water. Tzur is no water. Tzur is real drought. It's dry. It's rock. The rock itself is rocky.
It's like granite.
Granite, yeah.
Where is this lyric?
This word? B'shalach and in Geshem, Shmini Atzeres.
So there, your Meir is Chusin.
Even more enigmatic.
However, the one that hits you is that in that process, in the spill of Geshem, you're bringing this question of all the of the Uriyan, various water in relation to the Uriyan. It's only in this one that Moshe really paid a price for. So he's really our, and when it comes in our tefillah, that mind is associated to Moshe. It's more like
Mumaila,
whereas
the Kisa Batsur, that was totally Mumaila. But it says in Chassidus that's the reason. There's two types of people. There's a Tsur person and there's a Sela person. We all turn into rocks. The question is, how rocky do we become? So some people become Selas, which means the surface is rock, but inside, if you dig a little bit, you'll find a lot of water, fresh, vibrant water. Mushiness, liquid. Then there's people who turn into a rock, not only on the surface, inside they become a rock. And that's a tragedy. So v'hikisa v'atzur v'dibartem ala sela. To hit a sela, there's two ways of accomplishing, of influencing people. Sometimes you have to hit. Hit means shock treatment. Hit means, you know, you hit them. It's with
deep tater?
Huh?
Not with deep
tater, fakert. It's like the story of Gemara we once spoke about. Reb Shimon ben Elazar told somebody, Kama mechur adam zeh. You're so ugly. Shema kol b'nei yircha mechor and kamayischa. There are moments when a person is insensitive to anything. The only way you can get him is by literally, you have to blow him away or blow him over, or like in therapy, there's really a shock treatment, sometimes electrical shots, nothing less than that. Because it wakes up the person, sometimes through terrifying the person, scaring the person, screaming at the person, thundering on the person. Because he's so insensitive, you can't inspire him. But if he's a sella and you hit him, then it's wrong. If he's a sella, v'dibartim ala sella, you have to catch on, you have to tune into the element of goodness and evoke from that, evoke the inspiration from that. But the tzur is no breda.
Some people are more effective than other people.
The Klei Yakar says that was the vart, he says. I think he says it, somebody. That when the Jews left Mitzrayim, they were b'chinas tzur. They were still steeped in avodah zarah. So the Seder had to be v'hikisa. But after 40 years, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, after 40 years, you still have to hit them. Something is wrong. After 40 years of teaching them, you still have to hit the rock. I mean, they're already beginning to sell them.
You made a mistake or you didn't do a good job.
Yeah, one of the two.
Well, he spoke first and then...
Huh?
He spoke first, didn't he?
Yeah, but Lepayel, the water came out through hitting. That's what one of the Mepharshim says.
So maybe he didn't do a good job, but not that...
Still doesn't answer the Shaila. Your Shaila, stop. It's just interesting. Chaim. But in Chabad, it's one of the most joyous Nagunim there is, I think, if not the most joyous. I remember the Rebbe would always start it on Simchas Torah, this Nagun. Almost every Simchas Torah. And he would dance with the Nagun. The real Indian is, has to do with the Simchas Torah. The last Rashi you read on Simchas Torah is Yeshekeichecha Sheshibarta. Shvirus Haluchas and breaking the rock is both the same. It's hitting the rock, it's both the same Aveda. I'm saying an Aveda. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It says in Chassidus Halashon that tzaddikim as a chmeis and nefesh to fulfill Hashem's will, even in a case where they're going to do something and people are going to say, ah, they did an aveda. There's a chmeis and nefesh to do Hashem's will in a way that they're going to be accused by simpletons as sinners. That's the mesiras nefesh.
That was
to do Hashem's will, and everybody will say, you did Hashem's will. No, to do Hashem's will, they say, oh, he's a sinner. That's Mesiras Nefesh. That's the Mesiras Nefesh of Tzaddik. You mean Vayishak Yaakov L'Rachel?
They all said that's why he cried. After they all said, look at this
prostak.
So that's why he cried.
To do tshuva. Oh, I heard that there was once a misnagda that came to the Gerer Rebbe, to the Imre Yemes. He told him that Vayishek Yaakov L'Rachel Vayevk. You know why Vayevk? He was doing tshuva. He realized as his duch gefallen. Now Vayev Yaakov is Rachel. He became weak, and you know he followed his urge, but he was for that tzaddik. And he says, here you see what a tzaddik is. The moment after, it's a vaintism. He says, this is... Shayim Aleim Charatas. This is our Eilich Yid. So the Imre Yemes, the Gerer Rebbe, was a Shayim for Yid. He says, this is his pshat. So the Imre Yemes tells him, Ichel Zagam Havas Yaakov had gevaint. Well, I had given us, as well as I know, Zagam Yid and Vidir. As well as I know, Zagam Pshat.
Say that Yaakov and Vidir did such a Zagam.
He says Yaakov was crying because he knew there was going to be a Jew like you who was going to interpret the story this way. He was crying.
So the Mishnah says it's almost like the Nesiyah Shabbat also. They shake up the world and then either they get the smack for it or someone else takes the credit.
That's how it is. That's how it is, yeah. Or both. But Chaim Hazalter Rebbe explains that Yaakov basically saved the day. He saved the day with the kiss.
That's a good question on that.
Yeah.
Yaakov Avinu was an Atzilus. What you said before, when you explained the things a little bit before, he said that he was the Chenis Kutchabrich, not Shechenis. So the Kutchabrich was higher than Atzilus.
Generally, if you're contrasting it from Shechina, you can put it all into Kutcha Bricha, but if you like in everything, there's two dinim in everything. Relative to Shechina, Kutcha Bricha can be everything above. Relative to above.
Listen, I read in the...
You understand what I'm saying?
I read in the same for Taloi, that relative to Atzilus, other Kadmon is Einsoi. I mean, everything is relative.
In residence.
That's not what I'm bringing.
He was Ma'ir Rachamim from a higher place. But Yisus Kailai. He didn't only want to be Ma'ir Rachamim and Rachel from his own dimension. He seeked, he looked out to Avar Rachamim or Makairam to be Ma'ir Rachamim from there. Vayisus Kailai and then Vayefuk. He was weeping for Rachel from the Vayisus Kailai place. Because the Rachmanis from there is a different Rachmanis. Rachmanis from Atzilus ultimately takes as much as it gives. It's not the pure, real Rachmanis. It's not unlimited. Huh? No, the Alter Rebbe teaches the Vayisas Koile Vayevk. What Yaakov wanted to do to a neshama. It wasn't fear for a neshama to take a neshama back. To bestow upon a neshama the rachim of Atzilus is not fear for a neshama, because a neshama comes from higher. It's not fear for a neshama to give it only the rachim of Atzilus. When Yaakov sees Rachel, he wants to give her the real thing. He puts himself all out there. So Vayisa Eskele Vayevk. That's what he wants to give her. It's another... This is all the warm up. I want to share with you some of my feelings. But let's sing a Nigin. Huh? You're doing the real Nigunim, I see. Yeah.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.